You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Wednesday, I speak to Scott Glow, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. We haven't spoken for a while, Skulk. And a while used to be just a while. And a while is a long while now these days. And I just want to give you the backdrop of this. The gold price has gone from over 3,500 to well below, actually approaching 3,100 at one stage. And the S&P, having been down 17% for the year at its low, is now unchanged to slightly higher for the year. So that's the background. But let's get something else out of the way. And that was your conference of last week. I saw lots of good things about it on social media. Did it go well?
Yeah, the PSG annual conference is, that's usually a highlight of my year. And, you know, it's like some of these events. I mean, I can just use the Epic. The Cape Epic, it's a mountain bike. They usually, every year you hear people say this year has been the toughest epic ever. And the next year they will say it's the toughest epic ever. And just like that, I mean, I would say this year was the best PSG conference ever. And this year I really felt, I mean, they had wonderful speakers. I mean, the insights we've got, I mean, the whole theme was AI.
Yes.
And I was just mind boggled of where we're in the cycle, you know, things we haven't even talked about 5 years ago. That's now sort of been seen as not only the norm, but if you don't embrace this future, you won't survive. But yeah, it was good. It was really, really good.
Did you get the sense that AI is everywhere and we didn't know it was everywhere? Did you get the view that perhaps we're using AI when we don't know we are?
Yeah. I mean, there was this one presenter who actually showed a photo. And I think it was 5 years ago, but it could be 7 years. But anyway, it's a photo where they say, what was that animal? Let's say it was a cat, but it wasn't a cat. Cat using Wi-Fi on a plane. And then AI, you know, painted a picture. And this picture in some cases didn't have the plane. It was really, if you look at the picture now, you would think, I'm an AI. But this is 5 years ago. Now, you give AI that same command, and it will have the finest detail. I mean, you can actually switch and say, well, cat using Bluetooth, and suddenly it's got these earbuds, and it's just unbelievable what AI can do. But I think this is sort of a playing around with AI. But to me, how AI has evolved over the past, let's call it 2-3 years.
Yes.
It's just unbelievable. And I'm actually sort of worried, you know, looking 2-3 years ahead. I mean, and we're not talking about 10 years. We're not talking about 30 years. We're talking about 2-3 years ahead. I mean, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Okay, but why are you worried? Is it because it's going to take care of your job? Is it because everybody's going to be doing the same thing? The same AI program is going to be employed by Morgan Stanley, every other financial institution, PSG, and they're all going to go in the same direction. And then we really do have chaos.
No, I think I'm more the conspiracy theorist around AI, but that it definitely needs to be, you know, what do you call it, properly, what is the word that I'm looking for?
Regulated, supervised.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's supervised. It needs to, you can't just have an open mandate with this because this could be crazy. But I think, and most of the speakers said, do they think this will take, you know, most of the people's jobs? No, I think, but the bottom line is if you don't embrace it, you will find yourself most probably without a job. So anyway, I just thought it was really, really good. There was a few really solid speakers on the current market environment, this whole tariffs, Trump, China, I mean, the current environment. And I must say, it's interesting to sit there and suddenly starting to hear words like stagflation more and more, you know, economic worries and how the whole world has went from a totally open world. I mean, not just in terms of movement, but in terms of trade. I mean, if you look at it, let's call it 4 or 5 years ago, the world was pretty open. I mean, let's call it pre-COVID. It was open. You could move wherever you wanted to move. You could trade with whomever you want to trade. Trade was easy. Suddenly, that's not the case. So, yeah, I thought it was a long-winded way of saying it was a really, really insightful conference.
Well, it must have been, if you learned something and if your mouth was agape at certain points, then it must have been very, very good indeed. So well done. Next year, you have a high bar to jump over. Right, let's have a quick look at what you just said there, because I got a CNBC newsletter thing which I get every day, and point number 5 was with the headline "Good at Bad Stuff." It says experts are sounding the alarm about the safety of artificial intelligence, or the lack thereof, as companies like Meta, Google and OpenAI race to stay competitive. AI players have shifted from focusing on cutting-edge research to prioritizing the development of revenue-generating, consumer-ready AI services, like the cat on a plane, Skulk. So it was a very good example that you gave us. In the process, okay, it goes on to say, they're increasingly taking shortcuts when it comes to the safety testing of their models, experts say. The models are getting better, but they're also more likely to be good at bad stuff. That's what some industry insider said. So yeah, you make a very good point. So be careful. They're not just trying to make a fast buck in order to justify their enormous amount of R&D spend. They're also cutting some corners. Okay, S&P now flat on the year. It's all been a big con job, hasn't it? A con job on the downside, con job on the upside. Now this whole boot-licking, sycophantic bromance stuff between Saudi Arabia's MBS and Donald Trump. I was had a sick bag next to me last night watching it, this conference in Riyadh. I mean, it's positive, I suppose, in many ways. But you can't tell me that all this is not because of bribes and certainly maybe corruption's a little bit of a strong word, but there's something going on in the background, airplanes flying here and there, $600 billion being invested everywhere, and a certain individual is certainly benefiting from it.
Money talks, Lindsay, money talks.
Shouts in this case, yeah, anyway. But we have been led along the garden path, I think, to a certain extent in 2025.
Yeah, I think it's been an unbelievable year. I mean, you just mentioned we haven't had this podcast, or you and I haven't had the 5 o'clock shadow for I think it's 2 or 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
When we last had this conversation, we were still very much in the aftermath of the first tariff announcements. In actual fact, it was just during that time where he paused the tariffs until the, I think it's the 9th of July. So that's still very much in play. We know you're talking about bromance. We know that that President Trump, he had this whole China conversation over the weekend. and Switzerland, and they called it a total reset. Both of them just went and reduced the tariffs, and some of these levies, as President Trump mentioned it, has been suspended. Hasn't been cancelled. It's just been suspended, and as by his own admittance, they might rise again in 3 months' time, if no further progress is made. But for now, they don't see, when President Trump don't see that it will return to the previous, let's call it 145%. But we saw the aftermath. The market loved it. I mean, really, really loved it. You just mentioned, this is 3 weeks later, S&P went to, one stage was close to 20% down from its highs. Now, trading very, very close, very, very much close back to its highs of February. I think by the current movement, we most probably will move back. And what worries? I mean, there's a graph that I just looked at, and and a graph between they used TLT, which is basically just the long bond ETF relative to the S&P 500 ETF. Now, for the listeners out there, this is just literally where you put them relative to against each other. And over the past, let's call it 3 years, we just saw this graph move one direction. That's upwards for the S&P 500, basically showing a absolute risk on environment to a certain extent where you actually get a, oh, this is really overheated environment, which we saw in February. And then we got the tariff announcements. We had the aftermath, the big fighting between some of these countries. And I can still recall you and I had this conversation where I said, yeah, I mean, that's showing us a risk of how quickly did it go from a risk on to risk off. Well, if we look at that same graph, we're exactly back to the levels we've seen in February. Why? Because, well, post tariff announcement, the long bond rate, or I'm talking about the 10-year rate, went from close to the 4% levels to 4.5%. And as we sit here,
4.47, 4.48. Yeah.
There we go.
That's
back to 4.5.
Precisely. And I spoke to this bloke yesterday, actually, and he said he put this report out. It was published on May the 6th. And in the introduction, it says this data was collated as of the end of March 2025. So I said, so it must be a bit difficult for you to write reports these days, because by the time you look at the data, it's got a certain date and it cut off, nothing after that, then you publish it. And by that time, it's out of date. He said, the amazing thing is, Lindsay, that everything's exactly the same as it was on March the 31st when I first made my conclusions. It's extraordinary.
It is. It's as if we just, went away, Trump made the announcements, and if you took a, let's call it 4-week holiday, a little bit more than a 4-week holiday, and you came back, you'd have said, what happened? Because everything has changed, but everything has changed, stayed the same. I looked at a few, let's call it things that happened in April and where we are currently at. You know, I think beginning of April, we had the trade policy uncertainty and to a certain extent where we had some certainty, but now we're back to being uncertain, because we're still waiting for this pause now to unpause, which will only happen in July. We had a lot of investment banks, investment houses, one of them being the IMF, that downgraded the growth forecast for most of the countries, the US included. We had many of these inflation concerns. We sort of looking at interest rate cuts. And remember, we went into 2025 expecting at least three rate cuts for 2025. And here we're sitting in May. We haven't seen one. I'm looking at the CME Fed tool, which gives us the probabilities of rate cuts for the different Fed meetings.
Yes.
And currently, as we sit here, it's close to 100%, more than 90% probability that we're going to see unchanged for June. More than 90% probability it's going to be unchanged for July. And there's about a 50-50 chance. 50-50, that we'll only see the first one in September. And as we sit here, I think
they're wrong, given the fact that we got an inflation number of 2.3% yesterday, which was lower than expected, unless they have had a sneak look or a good idea of what next month's CPI inflation will be. So, Skalk, I don't know about that. I reckon there's at least two cuts, that is.
I would have said we still would have seen that at least three if we look at the inflation that actually came down. Well, yes, the 2.3, lowest level, just by the way, since February 2021. So, I mean, this is the lowest level in over 4 years. So you would have expected them at least when this came out, yesterday? When it came out, we would have seen at least the probability, increase of a rate cut earlier than September. Well, as it stands, it's still very much September, and they're still only expecting one. So I agree, but we've used the word uncertainty so many times in this podcast already. I think if we had a tequila every time we used the word uncertainty, I think you and I would have been, as we say in Afrikaans, poop drunk already. So
you underestimate me, but anyway.
uncertainty. But I mean, yes, I agree with you. But I've got no doubt in my mind. No doubt that. Remember, if you unpause these tariffs, and yes, I don't think it will be to the extent that we've seen with the first announcement. I think it might be a tad softer, but even a tad softer, in my view, will be inflationary, undoubtedly. Stagflation conversation. Do we think that growth will be better now, because Mr. Market is telling us, well, they're not too worried about the US growth anymore, because S&P 500, well, we're back at the high levels. And, you know, some of the companies like Goldman Sachs came out yesterday and they increased their forecast. I think they increased it from originally, they downgraded to 5,800. And I think now it's way over 6,000. So many of these companies, big investment houses, now say, well, things are looking better. I mean, I saw a commentator tweet, and I'm going to read it. Unfortunately, I didn't write the source, so please, sorry about that. We see inflation lowest levels in 4 years. Gas falls for third month in a row. Egg prices drop 12% in a month. Trade deals begin to take shape. Markets react to it all by surging. India, Pakistan reach a ceasefire, and Putin, Zelensky meeting this week. And he says,
so Trump wrote this, right? I mean, it sounds like it. Hey, come on. There's a grain of truth in all of it, of course, but we do know it's short term.
Yes. Yes. If somebody asked me today, you know, what do I see in the market? And I hear the Jaws theme song, Lindsay. I mean, I'm strange when I hear voices, but also I hear theme song. And what I'm saying, and for all the younger listeners out there, Jaws is a 1970s movie, the original one. And it always had this trailer, and the trailer sounded like a B-rated movie announcement. You always remember this. He was a man on a vengeance. He had something to prove. And Jaws was no different. They actually started off just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. And then that theme song started.
Okay, I'm just writing down a few things now. Since we last spoke in 3 weeks, the deterioration has been marked. You're like Joe Biden. You've got tequila. You've got voices in your head. Now you've got theme songs and you're singing them. Okay, that's okay. It's just...
But I am hearing this theme song when I look at Mr. Market currently, because just when you thought it was safe to go back in the market.
You're quite right. No, you're quite right. In fact, the best bit of Jaws is when they're out with the scientist played by Richard Dreyfuss, and yes, the fisherman, the gnarly old fisherman, is there, and he's chumming. You know, he's throwing in fish heads and things in order to attract the shark, and the shark comes up, and he's completely, completely bamboozled by this, and the scientist doesn't see it. So the scientist is the market trader of the things. Thank goodness it's all over, and how big can a shark be? But then the shark comes up, and we don't quite realize, well, despite the fact that there's a 90-day reprieve on the big, big tariffs, the fact is it's just a reprieve. Why 90 days? Why not just do it across the board anyway? So just realize damage has already been done and will continue to be done, given the history of Donald J. Trump.
Correct. Correct. And I think the only thing that's really keeping up the market, in my view, and this is just my view, because you and I mean, I think we're gonna either be legendary in a year or two's time, or we're gonna be totally forgotten. Because you and I had this stagflation conversation, I think, already two and a half years ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, so now we've already see the first quarter growth results came out for the US, dropped 0.3%. So there's the first contraction already, first murmurs of a possible recession. Yes, we did have the conversation about 2.3% inflation, which is the lowest levels since February 2021. So that's good. But as we just mentioned, I mean, tariffs were just paused. That the actual tariffs will still be implemented in some way of so.
And 30%, don't forget, 30% on China goods is a very, very large number, considering the huge volume of trade that is sent from China to the United States of America every year. So don't think that, oh, thank goodness it's not 145%, it's only 30%. Only 30%, do me a favor, that's damaging.
Correct. That is going to be damaging, and that's going to be inflationary, no doubt about it. So the silver bullet, as I mentioned, the silver bullet for me is the job numbers. The job numbers that's still to this point holding up pretty strong. I mean, we saw the non-farm payrolls that actually increased in April, and unemployment rate stayed pretty stable at the 4.2% level. So that's sort of the saving grace for now. But I don't see that. I mean, if you're going to start seeing contractions in the economy, we start seeing these tariffs. I think we're going to start seeing some worries around these job numbers pretty soon. So, yeah, I don't think it's over, Lindsay. I mean,
no, it's not
again,
over.
I'm referring back to the Jaws theme song. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the market, I don't think we're there yet. I think the market is really to take us back to the previous highs. And remember this, that the retraction we saw early April was I thought a good thing, because remember the market was trading at elevated levels. When I say elevated levels, at some of the highest rating PE ratings that we've seen since 2022 and before that, the dot-com era, the early 2000s. Yet we're sitting with all this, wait for it, uncertainty. Yeah, no, I don't know, Lindsay. I'm really
you're skeptical
worried.
Because someone sent you you put something on LinkedIn, an article I think it was, and somebody had asked, or you'd ask a rhetorical question I think it was, which says, is it too late to sell in May and go away? And we'll talk about that next week, because we'll still be in May. But we've got to talk. You talked about a silver bullet. Now I'm going to talk about a gold bomb, because it hasn't been great. And it's all to do with the dollar, and also risk off, as people say. Ah, thank goodness we can get out of the safe haven assets and go back into equities again. The gold price currently $3,183, down $52. On the day, it's a long way away from 3,500, but it was too high at 3,500. Probably, should we call it 3,000 to 3,500 for the rest of the year, Skunk?
Yeah, I think it's going to stay pretty stable. And why still, we saw some of these miners react. I mean, massive retractions in the likes of Gold Fields, Anglo Gold, Harmony, all these mines. And I look at this and I went like, yeah, I don't foresee a major contraction in the gold price, purely because of all the things we just mentioned. Yet when you look at Gold Fields, they brought out a operational update last week, and you know, I haven't had time to look at that, but they already mentioned that on a year-on-year basis, both they all in sustainable cost and they all in cost are lower now than what it was exactly a year ago, looking at more or less $1,865 per ounce for Gold Fields. Well, even if it stays, even if it goes down to $3,000, I mean, these mines, and when I say these mines, I mean pretty much all gold mines all over the world are printing money. So, yeah, I think these retracements is a good thing, and definitely, you know, sort of attract my attention currently.
Okay, let's have a look at some markets now. Dollar rand 18.23, that's good for the plane load of white South Africans who have just been shipped off to the United States of America. They can exchange their rands into dollars at a slightly better rate than they would have done 6 weeks ago. That's another story,
49.
Of course. Okay.
Well, at least we know there's more than 44 people speaking Afrikaans now. Didn't what's her name? Charlize Theron came out that there's only about 44 people still speaking Afrikaans. Well, we know that there's 49 Afrikaners that actually went over to the US now. So, anyway.
That's a great story. And I wish them well. British pound against the rand is 24.23. The euro rand is 20.43. Euro dollar is 1.1205. So the dollar has weakened very, very slightly. British pound against the US dollar is 1.33 now. Commodities, the gold price, we've mentioned it's down over $50 to just above $31.80. Platinum price, That's boring. 980, down a bit. Palladium, 953, up a little bit. Getting on to something that's been quite exciting since we spoke, if you're into that sort of thing. Brent crude oil is down just under 1% to $66.06 per barrel. And West Texas crude, $63.08 per barrel, which is down also just under 1%. Natural gas prices are down 2.8% again. There seems to be this big arbitrage every day between gas and oil. And yeah, that's more or less what we've got there. S&P 500, which we've been talking about, is the futures price is currently, this is the June futures. They're going to be going off the board quite soon. But anyway, for now, 5,906, which is flat on the day. US 10-year bond yield, we've also mentioned that, 4.51% now, which is just very slightly higher for the yield. The South African 10-year is, 10.77%. And the Bitcoin price, which has been all over the place, all to the upside, that is down a bit today, down 0.5% to $103,224 per Bitcoin. Downside on the JSE today, Skalk, I can give those to you because they're all diggers, I think. Have you got them
you
there?
I've got them, and you are 100% right. And actually, I see your diggers, and I'll raise it by saying most of them gold diggers, because Anglo Gold down 5%, Pan African Resources 4.3% down, Harmony down 3.3%. There's the first non-digger, South 32 down 2.6%, and then Gold Fields down 2.43%. So, huh. Yeah, all diggers.
Okay, on the upside, PH Prop up 3%. Truworths weighing in with a 2.9% gain. Datatec up 2.9% as well. 2.5% gains for Sappi, and Process up 2.5% also. But not much going on the corporate front in South Africa at the moment, Scout. That will, of course, change as results season comes in. But, pretty quiet. So you're back, and you're going to read all the reports that you missed because of organising conferences and so forth. I want to ask you, and this is a sort of a trading philosophy question, when you've built up a gold position, you've built it and done very well for your clients and hopefully for yourself as well, Scal, when do you manage to say that's it, or that's it for the bulk of my position? Because there are certain sick gold bulls that it's easier for them to get out of a marriage than it is to get out of a gold position that they are so in love with. I know you're not that sort of person, but I do know it's difficult to let go. Please give us some guidance here, if you would.
A few years ago, I wrote an article. It's when to sell a stock. Now, I'm not Mr. Warren Buffett that says the answer to that is never. I do have an exit strategy. I think the largest part of this answer is when the investment case changes. And when I look at the current environment, I don't see the investment change has changed at all, or the investment case has changed at all. We've still got the tariffs. We've still got political. Yes, we've got a ceasefire, between Pakistan and India. But Pakistan and India wasn't even a topic 3 months ago. We had the Gaza. We had Ukraine, Russia. Now suddenly India and Pakistan has joined the pity party. I mean, yeah. So the investment case for gold hasn't changed. So I'm not going to exit that position anytime soon. On the back of what I just mentioned, these guys are mining gold for around about $1,800, $1,900, and they're selling it for way more. So, no, I'm not married to my wife, not to the gold position, but my investment case is still very, very, very fraught. Just, I want to just get back. I mean, you very quickly mentioned that Naspers and Prosus, were one of the top performers today. And just, I think for the listeners out there, we had 10 cents results today. I think that's the main reason for that move. Revenue came out at 180, just over 180 billion won. which average which surpassed the average estimates of let's call it just shy of 176 billion won. So that was quite a nice beat, and Mr. Market reacted very, very nicely, and as you mentioned, and processed up 2.5% and us pushed just shy of 2% for today.
Skunk, thanks so much for your insight. Great to have you back. Skunk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.